Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. Books.
Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. One of the joys on the path of a reader is seeing a name that you see for years and years. Who is this person? As we know today, this person who we hear of and don't know is likely to be a woman who's been neglected. This woman, Silvina Ocampo, was considered to be one of the great unknowns of South American literature. She worked with Jorge Luis Borges when he was putting together his collection of fantastic literature. Working on that anthology as well was her husband, Bioy Casares, who wrote a book that Borges praised very highly, The Invention of Morel. I'd read Borges and Casares as a young man, but until recently, I had never read, much to my discredit, Silvina Ocampo. Now, I can say in my defense that two of her books, a novel and a book of stories, have just been translated and published by City Lights Press. Many people know City Lights Bookstore. Do you also know that Ferlinghetti has a press attached to that bookstore? Yes, there is a press, and they have published Silvina Ocampo's Forgotten Journey, which is a book of short stories. But if I am not giving away too much, the Forgotten Journey is the journey out of the womb into the world. Mm-hmm. This is a journey none of us succeed in remembering completely. He did not remember it, Borges. He saw that Silvina Ocampo had the gift, he said, of clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. And so now we have two thrilling books. Forgotten Journey, a book of her short stories, and I mean the longest, is 6 pages. Mm-hmm. And then a novel called The Promise. And we say a novel because it is probably the longest thing she wrote, but it's barely 100 pages. Mm-hmm. I have 3 translators here who have been working on Silvina Ocampo, and they are just some of the translators who are working on Silvina Ocampo, because she's about to be the discovery that we have all been waiting for. It's very exciting. And one of these translators is the marvelous Suzanne Jill Levine, who goes by the name Jill Levine. Many of you will know as soon as I tell you that she has translated Cabrera Infante, Julio Cortázar, Carlos Fuentes, Manuel Puig, Severo Sarduy, and Bioy Casares. And she's translated a great deal of poetry, more than 40 book-length translations. She is the dean of Spanish South American literature and translation. With her are 2 people who've been her students and who worked with her on each of these 2 books. Jill, how did you come to know Silvina Ocampo's work?
Well, I came to know Silvina Ocampo's work because I had the good taste and luck to meet this amazing literary critic when I was very young in New York named Emir Rodriguez Monegal. And he, with him, I was down in Argentina. And together, we went to the house of Bioy Casares and Ocampo.
They were married.
They were married. And so I met them for the first time. But of course, I had already heard of them because I studied, you know, Latin American literature in college. And and I was at graduate school that time. So, but getting to meet these people was like so exciting, you know. It's sort of like meeting gods, you know. When you're a student, you're studying these people, you know, it's like absolutely amazing.
Did you also meet Borges at that time?
I actually met him the year before because he was brought to Yale to give a lecture, and Yvon Bonfoy was there also.
Silvino Ocampo, about whom we're speaking, Bioy Casares, and Jorge Luis Borges were a triumvirate of sorts. Once they married, for 50 years, he continued to be their dinner guest. And, you know, he, as I said, he said of her that she was clairvoyant. She didn't take many photographs. She did not like to be photographed. When you see a picture of Silvina Ocampo, it's not unusual for her hands to be crossed in front of her face. And if asked if she were going to this or that party, she would say, "With this ugly face, Jessica Powell, you started to read Silvina under the direction of Jill Levine, yes?"
I was first introduced to Silvina's work many years ago in a translation seminar that I took with Jill when I was a graduate student at UC Santa Barbara. And after that class ended, Jill and I decided to collaborate on a novella, which was actually the only work that Silvina Ocampo and her husband, Bioy Casares, wrote together.
And this was the murder mystery.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. So it's
where
called
there is love,
Where There's
there is
Love,
hate.
There's Hate. Los que aman odian, which is a fantastic title. And we co-translated it. And after that, Jill and I started talking about, you know, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to translate more of Silvina's work? And so then Katie,
a new young
came
student,
on this scene, and she's completing her doctorate, and her dissertation is in part on Silvina Ocampo. Mm-hmm.
Katie Latif John worked on the translation of Forgotten Journey, a book of short pieces. There has been also, I don't want to confuse anyone, a book of poetry from the New York Review Books, as well as another book covering the entire spectrum of Silvina Ocampo's prose. I found my own beginning point were these two thrilling little books. Let's hear, who would like to read a section of Silvina Ocampo? Who would like to go
first?
Well,
if we start with the first book, I can read a section of The Olive Green Dress, the first paragraph from Forgotten Journey.
Forgotten Journey, the very first book of Silvina Ocampo. Let's hear the first paragraph of The Olive Green Dress.
All right. The Olive Green Dress. The display windows stepped forward to greet her. The only reason she had left the house that morning was to go shopping. Miss Hilton blushed easily, her skin translucent as wax paper, like those packages whose wrappings reveal all that's inside. But beneath such transparencies were the thinnest layers of mystery, behind the branching veins growing like a little tree over the surface. She was ageless, and just when one noticed the deepest wrinkles on her face or her long white braids, it was possible to catch an unexpected glimpse of her youth in some childlike gesture. Other times she seemed to have the smooth skin of a young girl and light blonde hair, precisely at the moment when she looked as if old age had caught up with her.
The first paragraph of a very short story called The Olive Green Dress. As I read, the stories seemed to escape from me as I moved forward in them. There's a strange quality of presence and absence, co-joined, as she writes. It's quite extraordinary.
And this first paragraph, I think, is good, shows her because it's so zigzaggy. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, first of all, it begins with a very odd sentence, which seems like awkward. How could display windows step forward to greet you? Of course, mm-hmm. that's the very surrealist element of, you know, which was the time she was writing in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, is she young? Is she old? It's like going from, mm-hmm. it's like and a woman's, you know, perception of herself. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about how she felt about she looked. I mean, I thought this is kind of interesting. A good example, no, mm-hmm. of that, mm-hmm. of those issues. And so it's very twisty.
This is Jill Levine, who is perhaps the guardian angel of these three translators, bringing Silvina Ocampo's writing into our present tense via the very present bookstore, City Lights, as I read the novel. And this is a book that entirely takes place in the ocean. A woman has fallen overboard, and as she fails to drown, she's flooded. The big flood in the book is not water, but memories. Sequences of memories that encode and encode one another. She remembers a secret set of affairs and alliances that she had with another woman and another woman's husband. She knows them and doesn't know them. She knows secrets that she's kept all her life, mm-hmm. but she's not going to tell them to us except to tell us that they exist, mm-hmm. that as she goes under, her life is being lit by the memory of what she no longer has access to. It's an extraordinary idea for a novel, yes? Mm-hmm. Which of you worked on the translation?
I did.
Us too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's really quite extraordinary because, of course, what she's doing is exploring both the delights and the deception of memory. And when you know that she worked on this book over a period of 25 years, the last several of which she was struggling with dementia, mm-hmm. it becomes very poignant to consider her contemplation of memory and what that means, the way these memories recur. And often she says in this book, I don't have my own memories. The memories of others have become mine.
And the sense of fragmentation that you get also, that how memories, you know, she goes from one, they go through association, which is true about memory. Mm-hmm. It moves right. by association. Mm-hmm. But also there's some, how there she, in some ways, she's so many different people, as she says, or mm-hmm. they are, or, mm-hmm. or where's the boundary between me and them?
That's right.
You know, and so she's mm-hmm. sort of like all of them, mm-hmm. and all of them are her.
E. Cummings is famous for saying, damn everything but the circus. And in a way, the tents, the big top, mm-hmm. are the structure of memory in Ocampo's literature. Acrobats, clowns, they're not physically present. They're the metaphors that underwrite the dangerous trip of life is across a tightrope. Mm-hmm. It's kind of inevitable. It's her, in the sense, you know, the men got to be called magical realists. I would say she was a clairvoyant clown, a right. clairvoyant ringmaster,
very
in a
good,
certain
yeah.
way.
Right.
Yeah,
it's very good.
Thank you.
I love that. That's and it's very. It works very well for the Forgotten Journey because you know we were thinking, well, how you know because there's so many different kinds of characters. There's a lot of course, young girls mm-hmm. and their, you know, issues and
circus performer.
Mm-hmm. But then we and women of all sorts and workers and rich ladies. But then what about all these moments with these people who are in the circus, who are, because the clowns are, there's nothing sadder than a clown, you know? That's one of the things, you know? I mean, my mother, I remember she told me that she didn't want to go to the circus with me because the circus depressed her. So, yeah.
Silvina was fascinated with the circus and she was fascinated with childhood and she wrote once she wanted to publish a series of anthologies for children, of children's stories that would be illustrated by children themselves. And she wrote a prologue directed to the child. And she said, "I've thought of you often, if not always, not only because I like swings, spinning tops, carousels in the circus, things you'll like forever, though not your mom, Jill, but also because the world of expression and imagination is yours, and without it, literature wouldn't exist."
Silvina Ocampo was born in Buenos Aires in 1903. She lived to be 90, yes?
Yes.
And she continued to write all her life. Mm-hmm. She began as a musician, became a painter, mm-hmm. in fact, had the great good fortune, I can hardly believe it, to study with Giorgio de Chirico, mm-hmm. whose novel, Hebdomeros, does, if you've ever read it, it's one of my favorites, it was a favorite of John Ashbery's too, it leads you to, in a sense of what you'll find in Silvina Ocampo, the unreal world buried within the real one. It's a very exciting book to read. Now, these are women who are translating a woman who was neglected. Would you say that she was neglected because she was a woman?
Well, I think that we all agree that's a strong part of why she was neglected. But when you think also, first of all, being a Latin American, being from Argentina, really a pretty marginal place up until, you know, fairly recently in history.
You know, I'm Michael Silverblatt. You're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with translators Suzanne Jill Levine, Jessica Powell, and Katie Latif John about the promise and forgotten journey of Silvina Ocampo, now brought into our presence in two new books, both of them from City Lights. There are other books from New York Review editions. If you look and seek, you will find a lot. It's all starting to be put together. It's very exciting. We'll continue after this short break. I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with translators Suzanne Jill Levine, Jessica Powell, and Katie Latif John about The Promise and Forgotten Journey by Silvina Ocampo, a novel which is called The Promise, and a story collection which is called Forgotten Journey, by a towering figure in Argentine literature, arriving at last in English. Here you are, translators of a writer that most people have not had the opportunity of knowing. Is Silvina about to be a star?
We hope so.
You know, I think part of that answer builds on the question you asked just a moment ago about, was it because Silvina's a woman that she was overlooked in her time? And that's part of it. I think another part of it is that she was very uncompromising in her individuality, mm-hmm. and very, very true to herself as a writer. Mm-hmm. And what that meant was that she was going to write what she wanted to write and how she wanted to write it, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't received in the way that she might have wanted if she was interested in being famous. And I think that we're in a moment now where readers may be more ready for Silvina Ocampo. Mm-hmm. Her surrealism, her gothic mm-hmm. sensibility.
And her a special way of being queer, too.
Correct.
It's not like typical mm-hmm. of, you know, you can't say it's like lesbian literature mm-hmm. or what, you know, it's sort of, it's in a world, a world of its own.
She did not believe in fixed identity in any way.
That's
and
right.
So it's in some ways really the moment for Silvina. Mm-hmm.
This was not a wonderful world for the women. Mm-hmm. I mean, Isabel Allende was so, I think, mm-hmm. mistreated and disregarded mm-hmm. by men who should have known better, mm-hmm. who should have known better. They should have heard themselves and one another mm-hmm. speaking mm-hmm. with such flagrant disregard for a woman whose life had been very hard. Same thing in a way. Yes, Silvina Ocampo is adored by many writers. Calvino loved her. Mm-hmm. Borges loved her. But they're always making special categories for her. Not a writer, clairvoyant. I think that she was a very diligent writer mm-hmm. who, in pursuing for 25 years the drowning memories of a heroine of her one and only novel, was demonstrating that she had something she wanted to do, and she would get it done even if death took her to the completion of it. And in these final pages, there's no avoiding it. The narrator, if not dies, drowns, disappears, is swallowed up by the incredible three-ring circus of her memory. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear a section from the novel The Promise by Silvina Ocampo.
I began my itinerary of memories with names and even biographical descriptions down to the last detail of people I had known in my life. Naturally, they didn't emerge from my memory in chronological order or in the pecking order of my feelings for them, but instead appeared in a capricious way. The last were the first, and the first were the last, as if my mind couldn't obey the dictates of my heart. In my memory, some people appeared without a name. Others were ageless, others from a time when I didn't know them, others without the certainty that they were real people and not ghosts or inventions of my imagination. I didn't recall the eyes of some of them, the hands of others, and in the case of others, their hair, their height, their voice. In a way, like Scheherazade to King Shahryar, I told stories to death so that it would spare my life and my images, stories that seemed to never end.
I will try to reconstruct in these pages the order or disorder that I constructed with such difficulty in my mind from the moment in which I glimpsed in the water, as if through a glass window, a sea turtle resembling the tailor Aldo Bindo, which made me recall, through a whimsical association of ideas, Marina Donghi, behind the window of a fruit store, who, like him, had a beauty mark on her left cheek. I began to enumerate and to describe people. Marina Donghi, the fruit seller, was the first to appear involuntarily before me in my memory. Blonde, fair-skinned, and jittery, she would come to the door of the fruit shop whenever I was passing by with my brother to wink at him. Her breasts were like large fruits overflowing her décolleté, and my brother would pause to look at her, but what am I saying, not at her, but at her breasts, and not at the navel oranges, which were very expensive.
We're hearing our Suzanne Jill Levine and Jessica Powell reading from their translation of The Promise by Silvina Ocampo. Now, obviously, as my listeners can hear, there's a great deal of merriment and laughter that you're sharing with this writer. And I would say that she has a very original sense of humor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you attempt to describe it?
It's very tricky. She's very ironic, mm-hmm. and I think that's a very true, but with a lot of humor, obviously, about her irony, I think. I mean, just the fact that she told this story about William Carlos Williams, he wrote to her, desperate to translate her. He said, and you know, I didn't write him back because, to me, I thought he might have been some really minor Brazilian singer of sambas. So I felt a little embarrassed, you know, but of course she really probably knew who he was and she was just too embarrassed. She had probably had some problem about writing to him.
So the terrible slowness of this emergence. It begins with William Carlos Williams doing the translation of one poem in what was a paperback magazine called New World Writing. Mm-hmm. It was a very good magazine at the time. Most of the interesting writers appeared in it, and William Carlos Williams, as a poet, was also a translator who knew a good deal of Spanish. Mm-hmm. And so this was, for a very long time, the only little bit, fragment, of Silvina Ocampo that we had in English. What came next? How did she make her way into the consciousness of North America? And is it important? Because Calvino, as you were mentioning to me before, did a whole anthology of Ocampo's stories in Italian. Right. Did he do the translation?
I think probably he did, yeah.
Isn't a lot of it.
Isn't
that fortunate?
Yeah. Because he loved her. I mean, they were very close friends. I mean, you know, dear friends.
Really?
And he and his wife often visited them, Bioy and Silvina, in Argentina. Yeah, so there was, it's because his wife was Argentine. So that was the connection.
So we were the last, as usual, to get the news, and, and then the proudest of receiving it.
Right.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think in a sense she started to be recognized when, again, there was a consciousness raising about women writers in academe, among publishers, and this started to sort of, little by little, start to happen in the 70s, but I don't think it really flourished until maybe, you know, 20 years or later. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I did, for example, I was trying to sell her to publishers way back then in the 70s to do an anthology of short stories. And I was told often, they said, you know, anthologies of short stories don't sell well. Mm-hmm. And they read that we prefer a novel. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the issues with Silvina. She did not have novels. But again, Borges also had the same problem.
Borges didn't have novels.
I know, so, right.
And that's Raymond Carver didn't have novels. Silvina Ocampo is the writer of brilliant and beautiful short stories that we're just starting to get to know. Today, I have been speaking to three of the recent translators of Silvina Ocampo. Suzanne Jill Levine, known usually as Jill Levine, translator of at least 40 volumes of translations from the Spanish. Two co-translators and students of Jill Levine's, Jessica Powell and Katie Latif John. Thank you all for joining me. This was a real pleasure. I hope my listeners will remember the name Silvina Ocampo, because she's the next writer you should be reading, if should is a word that applies.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show. Also available at Apple, Spotify, and all podcast services. You can even listen on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. Special thanks to co-producer Sean Sullivan, associate producer Alan Howard, engineer Mario Diaz. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcast the most recent ones at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Charles Yu is our guest.